Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Another week, another good day to talk baseball. It is Monday, March 18th, and we are 2 days away from some regular season action. As we know, the Seoul Korea series will be starting up soon, so that's really exciting on Wednesday. That'll be a lot of fun. But today, we have more baseball to talk about. We have, obviously, the weekend stuff to cover, and we have the Toronto Blue Jays farm system to talk about. All these things, it's going to be a good day. I'm very excited for all that's to come. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your support and being a member. If you are the Dynasty Dugout, I really appreciate that. It means the world to me. I'm so thankful to get to do this every day, and you are a big part of that. I will have the Blue Jays article linked in the chat, so you can find that as well. Also going to drop the Dynasty Digest from this weekend in there if you'd like to check those out, pretty much with all the breakdowns of everything you need to know from the weekend's action. So those will be in the chat if you want to find those. A lot of good stuff to talk about. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's talk about everything you need to know from this weekend. This morning we did find out that Ronaldo Lopez will be the fifth starter in Atlanta, which is huge. He was battling with Bryce Elder, and you know, in all honesty, I'm not surprised to see Lopez win that spot. He is one that, you know, has pitched well. When they signed him, they gave him kind of like starterish money. I was like, there's no way. And they kept saying he's going to be compete for the starter. I just didn't believe it. And yeah, he's had a good spring, and he has won that fifth job. A lot of good spring breakout action. Xavier Isaac hit 2 home runs. Not a lot to talk about with him. You know, he hits the ball really hard. Got really massive power, probably 70 grade juice. Spencer Jones also hit 2 home runs. So that was a lot of fun to watch and see. Troy Melton kind of stood out in the Tigers game. Yeah, if you've been around the dugout for a while, you know that we've really liked him. The pitch profile and the pitch movement, the arsenal is really good. So that arsenal is going to play up. He throws strikes. I think that Melton's ultimately somebody that he's going to move upwards a good bit this year. So I'd watch out for Troy Melton. He's somebody that I love. Zach Veen, he had a 2-hit day. He had a double, and he had another single that came off the bat at 103.5. So it's interesting. Veen's a weird profile. He was supposed to be a big power guy, and then he never really developed the power, and it was speed and hit tool. The frame still suggests that there could be some room to fill out. I'm interested to see how this plays out, but Veen's an interesting to watch. I think it's a big year for him in 2024. Obviously, he was hurt in 2023. Brock Selvidge, he had a great outing, 60 pitches to complete 4 innings in the Yankees spring breakout game. He's probably the most underrated arm in the Yankees system. And I know that is weird to say, but the Yankees do have underrated arms, and Selvidge is one of them. He's not flashy, but he has generated whiffs. He had a 32% CSW and a 31% whiff rate in that start. He threw his slider the most of any pitch. The fastball set at 93.5. The sweeper looked good, showing a ton of horizontal. And he threw strikes. I think Selvidge is somebody to be on your radar this year that, you know, as the Yankees have traded a lot of their pitching prospects, you know, Selvidge is going to move up and be one of the top guys in the system. He struck out 8, allowed 1 hit and 1 walk. We also saw Henry Lalanne, which was a lot of fun. I think he's going to soar this season, so I'm excited about what Lalanne does. He touched 97 with the fastball, set 93-94, so that's pretty fun to see. I think as he builds up that 6'7" frame, he's going to just be really nasty this year. Baseball America had a prediction he'd reach AAA by season's end, which is wild, but he is a little older. I think he's 20, so he's been at a complex, so he'll be a fun one to follow. Impressive arsenal there. Kendall George is somebody that I got rave reports on before this game. He added weight. He still kept his 80 grade speed, and he's gotten a little more juice, and he had a big triple in the game. He showed really good contact last year after being drafted in the first round, and he also had a double in that game, which was a lot of fun. So the wheels are still there, and he's getting to more juice. So Kendall George might be in a breakout. We will see. Jared Jones should have locked down the fifth rotation spot in Pittsburgh. If not, I don't know what they're doing. If they put Domingo Germán in there, I'll be shocked. And I hope that's not the case, but we shall see. Jace Young had 2 home runs on Saturday off Mick Abel and Griff McGarry. 2 good pitchers nonetheless. Young's interesting. He's transitioned fully to third base now. He was second baseman. He transitioned during the fall league to third base. Very unconventional setup, but he makes it work. He's hit for power, and the contact skills are respectable. So, you know, I'll be interested to see what Young looks like. Can it be a big year from him? Obviously, Josue Brasino got a lot of love. He hit a ball 111.7 miles an hour, and another one that came off at 97. He's just 19 years old. He's big, 6'4". So Brasino is a guy that probably starts the year in single A and then probably moves up the ladder in Detroit. So watch out for Brasino. He's one to probably go ahead and get on in now because I've seen a lot more hype around social media on Brasino. So if you like him and you want to get in, I'd probably do so sooner than later. Nick Nastrini, I think, wins a spot in Chicago. He had another good outing yesterday. 4 scoreless, ERA sitting at 0.82 for the spring. I just think that he gets in. I mean, they have an opening. I think it's a shoe-in for Nastrini, who's a really underrated guy. And Johnny Brito also is going to take that 5th spot in San Diego, it looks like. He had a good outing against Team Korea yesterday. Only 2 innings, but fastball looked good. He struck out 4 over 2 scoreless, had a 33% whiff and a 40% CSW. He was respectable last year with the Yankees, pitched 90 innings with the big league. So Johnny Brito, fun one to watch, and he will be most likely the 5th starter in San Diego, even with Dylan Cease coming around. So we're here to talk some Blue Jays. The Blue Jays farm system is, it's okay. There's some more talent at the top than there was, which is good. You know, they kind of cycled through. They had their big group of guys in when Bo and Vlad and Kevin Biggio came through. All those guys were studs. Obviously, they all graduated. And now the farm system was left barren, but they have done a good job of kind of restocking it a bit. So we're going to break that down today, talk about everything you need to know from the Blue Jays system and who might debut this year. Let's start at the top. It's Ricky Tiedemann in the number one spot. That may be no surprise to anybody here. I mean, in this system, it's a no doubt number one, in my opinion. And you also probably know, if you've listened to me, that I'm a little bit lower on Ricky Tiedemann than most are. I like Tiedemann. I think when he's on the mound, he's really, really good. But Tiedemann concerns me in a lot of ways, considering the injury risk. Looking at Tiedemann, he's lefty, big frame, big stuff. It's a low release height, a very low vertical approach angle. It creates really tough spots for hitters. A lot of east to west movement here. I'm talking about a fastball that sits in the mid-90s. Plays more as a sinker, gets a ton of arm side run. He's been up to 99 in shorter stints. I mean, it's like average IVB, but like I said, the arm side run's really what you're getting here. I think that the pitch does play up due to velocity and the fact that he averaged like 15 inches of arm side last year, which is huge. Changeup Similar thing where it's getting a ton of fade. Like he's up to 20 inches of fade regularly, which is huge. And then the sweeper. I mean, it's his best pitch for sure, in my opinion. He's generating 20 inches of sweep. So you think the changeup's going 20 inches this way. You've got the sweeper going 20 inches that way. It's a really good arsenal. 3+ pitches easily. He's thrown strikes. The AFL, he did build up. That was the first time in the Fall League in 2023 that we had seen him pitch 5 innings in a start since July 1st of 2022. So that was a year and a half between those. So I'm interested to see what Tiedemann does. Can he stay healthy? I don't know. I mean, he's dealt with hamstring stuff. The arm's always been an issue. At the end of the day, I think it comes down to health for Tiedemann. That's really the biggest factor here that we're looking at with Ricky Tiedemann is can he stay healthy? The stuff's there. There's a lot of risk, but the upside's probably an SP2 type. So if you play the game, but you look at the history of guys that have been injured that are similar profiles to him, it's not great. I mean, think like, is this a Nate Pearson 2.0? And you know, I mean, I don't want to put that on him yet. I think that's too soon to do. But I do think that there's a chance that Ricky Tiedemann could end up in the bullpen. And I'm thinking that's maybe a 50-50 shot right now because I don't know if he can stay healthy. So that's really the biggest thing with Tiedemann right now is the health. Let's go to Elvis Martinez. He has been a big-time power hitter for some time, but the contact skills have always been a question. You know, beginning in 2023, the contact skills improved. He hit 28 home runs last year. He slashed 243, 340, 396, which is really weird, actually, to see the slug as low as it was, considering the fact that he hit 28 home runs and that he hit for power. And now I'm kind of wondering, looking at this, did I have a typo in my article? Because that seems pretty low. Yeah, I definitely had a typo in my article. That should be 496. So disregard the 396. That was not the case. When I read that, I'm like, oh, that's not right at all. But anyway, he had a 90th percentile exit velocity of 106 miles an hour. That's firmly plus power. I mean, I think you're going to look at somebody that hits 25 to 30 home runs regularly. As I mentioned, the contact rates ticked up. He was 85% in zone last year, which is huge. Chase rate dropped last year. I love to see that. The breaking balls caused some issues in the past, but we did see some pickup against that. I mean, he was better because he made some tangible changes. With 2 strikes, he eliminated the leg kick completely. The contact rates were much better in 2-strike counts, which is huge. I think the power is pretty effortless. He does not have to sell out for power at all to get to it. And I think that Orelis is ready. He's ready to come up and play on this team. There's openings. He's played some second. He's played some third. I mean, really the only infield positions I think are locked down are first and short. I mean, Vlad and Bo. Honestly, like, I don't see anybody else there that's, like, going to block anyone at all. I mean, they signed Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. They've got Kevin Biggio. I don't see them blocking or Elvis Martinez or another guy we're going to talk about in a minute for that matter. So I really like Martinez. I think he makes an impact in 2024, and he's one to watch out for. Arjun Namala. He was young for the draft. He was 17, and he did not turn 18 until December. First-round pick, 6'1" frame that's already filled out, and the tools really jumped in senior year of high school. I think some years he probably would have gone top 5 in the draft, but last year, obviously a stacked field, he fell to 20 to the Blue Jays, and I think that could end up being a steal. There's a really quick bat here. He's got power. I think there have been some questions about Namala expanding the zone some. And, you know, how much chase would there be? How much contact would there be? But he does drive the ball well to all fields. The gap power, I think, turns into home run power with time. We don't have an extensive track record. We haven't seen too much. But all the tools, the body, the athleticism, they give us a reason to be very optimistic about Arjun Namala long term. It's somebody that I think could be a really, really good prospect. He could vault up significantly this year. He could easily take the top spot on the Blue Jays system, at least, and probably could be a top 30 prospect if all clicks. So we'll see. I'm excited to see what Namala does in his first full pro season, but it's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. He'll be 18 the whole year. Maybe they get a little aggressive with him. We shall see. Addison Barger. I think he's probably one of the more underrated prospects in the Blue Jay system, but also in prospect circles in general. Probably because he's kind of just hung out for so long. He was a sixth rounder back in the 2018 draft. So it does, in a way, feel like he's been around forever and never really done anything. But the development path is important to talk about here because he dealt with injuries early. And then COVID obviously canceled the 2020 season. He played just 13 games after being drafted between 2019 and 2020. So a lot of missed development time. In 2022, Barger made some big things happen. He looked like a different player. He made it to AAA. He showed power. And I know the results weren't quite there in 2023, but he showed all the intangibles that you want to see. And he is somebody that I think could continue to take those steps forward and be either a utility type or an everyday player. I mean, you look, the contact skills improved. His zone contact went from 83% to 86.5% last year. The overall contact rate went from 71% to 76%. Chase rate's respectable. People talk about the power not being there, but he had a ninth percentile of 106, which is Orelvis Martinez. His average EV was 89. And the problem is it just doesn't translate to barrels or home runs often because too many ground balls. I think I'm to the point now where guys that don't lift the ball, it's really hard to change that. Very rarely do we see players just be able to change their launch angle. And I'm not saying that it's impossible. I don't know. I'm struggling with this because, like, who is Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Like, is he going to lift the ball? Is Brett Beatty ever going to lift the ball? Can Ke'Bryan Hayes consistently lift the ball? We've been looking for it for years, and maybe that's the knock on Barger, is that he just doesn't lift the ball enough. We shall see. Damiano Parmigiani, better known as Cheese in some parts of Arizona, has continued to improve every year. He's a 14th rounder in 2021. He matched 24 homers last year in 2022 and then 23 in 2023. I mean, it's some of the best power in the system. He abuses fastballs. The contact skills are average. He has 72% contact rate last year, but he does play up in an OBP context. He doesn't chase. He's going to walk at a high clip. He's a little bit shorter at 6 foot, but he's really powerful frame, actually. He flashes plus power. I think that you can probably project above average power long term, but he does hit the ball at ideal launch angles so consistently that he gets to more in-game power than you might think, which is really encouraging. You know, he spent most of his time at third base. Maybe he moves over to first long term. We shall see. But at the end of the day, there's a spot for Parmigiani on this team. Like I said, is Biggio going to block anybody? I don't think so. Is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa blocking anybody? Probably not. So looking at this profile, I really believe that there's a chance Parmigiani breaks in pretty soon and makes an impact on this Blue Jays lineup. Much like this guy already did, he came up at the end of last year and made a huge impact. And that's Davis Schneider. Schneider really wasn't on many radars prior to his 2023 in AAA, which earned him a call-up. He was a 28th round pick in the 2017 draft, a career journeyman pretty much. But now it looks like he's probably on the Blue Jays roster for the foreseeable future. He's smaller, but he still gets to power. 29 home runs in 2023, a 90-mile-an-hour average EV, and 105-mile-an-hour 90th percentile. You know, I don't think he gets to 29 home runs again. I kind of doubt that that's the case. But at the end of the day, there's sneaky power here. There is 20 home run power in Davis Schneider's bat. The contact skills were respectable. It was an 85% zone contact in AAA. That number actually dropped pretty significantly. It was 73% in the majors. And the overall contact rate went from 76% in AAA to 65% in the majors. Smaller sample, but something to keep an eye on, especially considering the glove is a weak point. Schneider really doesn't have a true position. He's played some second, he's played some third, he's played some left field. He probably winds up a utility bat, But I do think the bat is strong enough for Davis Schneider to stick in this lineup long term. Let's talk about a draftee last year in Landon Marudis, who actually did throw the other day in the spring breakout game. He is an ideal starter frame, 6'3", 195. He is from the same high school as Andrew Painter. So that's obviously really fun to same coaching, same school. And those things actually sometimes do work out. Like you have some schools that just do exceptionally well developing pitching. And maybe that's the case for Calvary Christian in Clearwater, Florida. And I look at Landon Marudis, and I think there's something here. I'm pretty excited about what Marudis brings to the table. And I think that he gave a little glimpse of that in the spring breakout game on Saturday. I was going to pull up the numbers. They faced the Yankees, who did actually beat him up. And I know the results weren't good for Marudis, but I'm really just looking at the pitch data. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, I've got some high school pitch data, but what's changed? Has anything changed with him at all? He threw 25 pitches. He got 12 swings. The slider set 86. The four-seam set 96. Curveball at 79, 80 miles an hour. And the changeup at 85. So he did throw four pitches and five if you include a four-seam and sinker variation, which is pretty good. The curveball had really big depth to it. The four-seam had good ride. But the sinker actually was unique. It did show much more depth. He threw the slider. It was more of a traditional shape, not a lot of sweep. But the changeup did have a lot of fade on it. So the changeup had like 15 to 18 inches of fade. And the curve, 55 inches of drop and up to like 15 inches of sweep too. So Marudis has some interesting stuff. I think if he continues to fill out this frame, he could add velo. I think that strike throwing will be the biggest thing with Landon Marudis. Can he throw enough strikes to be relevant? I think that really the development of secondaries will be huge. In high school, a lot of these guys can get away with just a fastball and a decent secondary. But he's really going to need to develop that changeup, which already looked pretty good. And the slider will be a big development piece as well. Marudis, I think he's in line to make his pro debut in 2024. We obviously saw him in spring breakout. He'll probably pitch in single-A ball out of camp, so it'll be fun to follow him there. Leo Jimenez, shortstop, 22 years old. Very strong contact hitter. He signed with the Blue Jays back in 2017, so another one that's been in the org for a while. He actually has bulked up a little bit and added some power. He was previously listed at 170. Now he's up to 215, and he runs really good contact. Last year, he had an overall contact rate of 82%, which is huge, and he had 8 home runs and 8 stolen bases. So it's not a super flashy fantasy profile. Like, you look at that, and there's not a lot to get excited about. Oh, it's 8 home runs and 8 stolen bases. But I do think that it's a little more intriguing under the hood. Respectable exit velocities, 88.5 average, 104 90th percentile. And I think there could be more in-game power coming. The issue is the ground ball rates were way too high. So 43 and 52% last year between AA and AAA. So those are very high. If he sits closer to 43%, then we'd be in a much better spot. But ultimately, the contact is the carrying tool here. He has strong OBP skills. If he can tap into more power, that will be the biggest thing. So watch Leo Jimenez this year, see what he can do, and see if there's potential for him to tap into more power. Let's go to underrated left-handed arm in Kendry Rojas, who I was low on until I really dug. I wasn't low on, I just wasn't really in on until I dug in this offseason. He originally signed in 2020, and ultimately he has been really, really good. I know he's a little bit older for single A, but he's just 21 years old. And he doubled his career innings mark last year, pitched 84 innings, had a 3.75 ERA with 82 Ks. It's a starter's frame, it's 6'2, 190. Fastball set 93, but it does play up pretty significantly due to the really good ride it gets. We're talking about 18 to 19 inches of induced vertical consistently. Slider, best pitch, mid-80s, gets a lot of whiffs. Changeup, it really needs to develop a little bit further. It has some late fading action, so at times it flashes being a solid pitch, but still needs some work there. It sits in the mid-80s. So two velo bands, I'd like to see that stretched out to three velocity bands, which would be really beneficial. But at the end of the day, like, I really like what Rojas does. He's still young. He will, you know, enter next season as a 21-year-old. So I'm curious to see what Rojas can do. And what does he project like long-term? Can he throw enough innings to be a starter? Probably still to be determined. But I am watching Kendry Rojas pretty closely. As is this next guy, Brandon Barriera. Really, injuries have been the story of his career. He was the 23rd overall pick in 2022. He did not make his pro debut until May of 2023, and he compiled just 20 innings across seven starts last season, and the results were really a mixed bag. He had 3.98 ERA and 25K over those 20 innings, but really the biggest thing was he wasn't healthy. You know, the fastball set around 93 last year, but low IVB, it had some cutting action to it. Slider, I mean, that's really the best pitch here. Averaged like 12 inches of sweep. It's set in the low to mid 80s. It's a high spinning pitch, gets whiffs. And the changeup and curve are mixed in, but seldom used. Barriera will need to throw more strikes. Just a 58% strike rate last year, small sample. Not going to put a lot of stock in it. But at the end of the day, you know, I think that Barriera still has potential to bounce back and perform, but he's going to have to be healthy. That's really the biggest thing here is health. Let's move on to another draftee. Last year, Jace Beaurefin out of Arkansas. Very, very fun profile. I look at Beaurefin and I see somebody that broke out last year at Arkansas. He hit 16 home runs in 2023 and then seven more in 24 pro games. Respectable slash lines at both. I really like the profile here. I think that this is one that could fly up this board. I look at Beaurefin and I see a guy that gets on base. I think he can hit for power. I think he's a pretty disciplined hitter too. So he's going to play up in an OBP league. He had a 20% less, he chased a less than a 20% rate. And then in college, that number was just 18% in pro ball. So on contact rates are about average. The contact rate's about average too, but the power, 91 mile an hour average EV and a 106 ninth in college, which is going to take a little bit of hit in pro ball, and it did, but the power was still there with Beaurefin. So I think Jace Beaurefin can bounce back. 2023 was an outlier season for him, but the fact that it was in pro or in college and then into pro ball, I do believe that Beaurefin can be a really solid bat. We'll see how the Jays develop him, but this could be a really solid outfielder in the system. That would be Jace Beaurefin, another outfielder, Alan Roden. He was drafted in the third round in 2022 out of Creighton. He is a hitter through and through. He was a career 383 hitter in college. And last year, between high A and double A, 317 average with a 431 OBP. He had 10 home runs. He stole 24 bases. We're looking at an overall contact rate north of 86%. That is very high-end contact with really good on-base skills as well. Clock times are average. He did steal 24 bases. He was only caught four times. That shows me he has good instincts on the base paths. It's a weird profile for a corner outfielder. He doesn't really fit anywhere else, but I'm struggling with where to profile him. Where does he land long-term? And I think it's got to be a corner spot. Ultimately, I think that Roden could move pretty quickly because of how advanced the bat is and that he's 24 years old. So at the end of the day, I really like Alan Roden. I think he can be someone to really move up rankings just because the contact's there. And if the speed sticks and he gets into a little more power, this is a pretty interesting player. I'm intrigued, as is by this next guy, Emmanuel Bonilla. He received one of the largest bonuses last year, last January of 2023, $4 million. He struck out more than once a game in the DSL, but he hit 307 with a 407 OBP and a 429 slash, 14 extra base hits in 50 games. There were some strikeout issues. I mean, it's evident he's a big guy. He's got long levers. And I think there's a lot of boom and bust potential here with Bonilla. But if all clicks, I think that he could easily tap into plus or better power And this could be an Xavier Isaac or Lazaro Montes type profile. That's kind of what I see, is that if all works, I want to be in on Emmanuel Bonilla. We'll see him stateside in 2024, which is exciting. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, think he got an at-bat in the spring breakout game. Maybe I'm mistaken. Yes, he did get two at-bats, and he did collect a hit as well. So that was encouraging to see him stateside. He got a hit off Lalane, which is awesome. So two young talents there. I think Bonilla is really going to soar up boards this year. Just the power is so tantalizing here. And if it clicks, this is a big-time prospect. So going to have to keep the strikeout rates in check. Going to have to show us that this year. But at the end of the day, I really like what I've seen. Spencer Horwitz, very contact-oriented approach. He is fluctuated with the kind of power he puts out. But he made contact on 88% of pitches in the zone and 83% overall. Low chase rates, 26%. Much better than average. Ultimately, he walked more than he struck out in the minors last year. I mean, I think that's pretty impressive. The power skills are fine, like average power. He ran a 103 90th and a 88 average. So it's a little slightly below MLB average on both standards. And we are talking about a 26-year-old. Ultimately, the hard-hit balls have not turned into home runs because he has hit the ball on the ground too much. So that's the biggest thing that he's going to have to fix. So Spencer Horwitz will have to get more lift. Probably not an everyday player, but somebody to watch out for pretty closely. Let's keep moving forward with Josh Kasevich. Kasevich is one of the more advanced hitters you'll see. We talked about the contact rates of Alan Rodon. Kasevich had an 87% overall contact rate. It's firmly hit over power, but like many of the Blue Jays, very limited by how many ground balls he hits. That is a huge aspect, is that he just hits way too many ground balls. He's pretty selective. He doesn't chase often. Here's a funny stat. 78% of Kasevich's hits in his pro career have been singles. Not great. So, at the end of the day, it's not a great fantasy profile, but in a deep league, I think you could do a lot worse than Josh Kasevich, because there is at least contact skills here to sell, which makes him pretty intriguing. A couple other names I do want to talk about that do have some intrigue. Adam Macko, a left-handed arm, he actually started that game, the spring breakout game the other day against the Yankees, and he got beat up a little bit. I will say that Macko did look good when I saw him in the AFL. He was more impressive than he was in the spring breakout game. You know, with Macko, we're looking at, like, he was a former seventh rounder. He was traded to the Blue Jays in the Teoscar Hernandez deal. He's just been injured a lot. Threw a career-high 86 innings in 2023, and he finished with an overall line of a 4.81 ERA, which isn't great. But he did strike out 106 and had a 3.97 FIP. Fastball sits low 90s, touches 96 on occasion. For reference, in the spring breakout game, he threw 27 pitches, 11 fastballs. It set 94. He touched 95.5. So smaller sample there, but you know it was not great, Velo. It was fine. Curveball does show a lot of downward movement, upper 70s. It plays well with the slider that sits in the mid-80s. Changeup's not thrown all that often. I think he will have to throw it a little more to find some success, but we are looking at four velocity bands, which is big. So at the end of the day, Macko's a fine arm, but I think you'd be better investing in this next guy who's a young arm, Fernando Perez, a 19-year-old right-handed pitcher, 6'3", 170. He's lean. He's got room to fill out. He was one of the best pitchers already in the Florida Complex League last year. He had a 2.72 ERA across 50 innings of work with 57 strikeouts and 12 walks. Right now, the fastball is low 90s, but as I mentioned, Perez has a 6'3", 170-pound frame. I think it'd be crazy to think that he could not add some weight to that frame and potentially fill it out a little more. Curveball, it sits upper 70s. Changeup shows good fade. I think the jury's still out here, but we're looking at a good arsenal, good strike-throwing ability, And I think that Fernando Perez is probably a pitcher to watch pretty closely in this system. Tucker Tolman, another name to watch. He was a second rounder in 2022. Big bonus of $2 million. He was a very high prospect in that draft. Last year was not a great year for him. 208, 320, 313 with five homers. He did have 32 extra base hits. He did show a decent approach. He didn't chase all that often, but the contact rate of 69% was disappointing. The zone contact rate of 80% was okay. It was respectable, but he struck out 28% of the time. Switch hitter struggled from both sides of the plate, actually, but he's more consistent and showed a little bit more from the left side. His power, not as you would thought from the high school sample, 99 mile an hour, 9th percentile, and an 86.5 mile an hour average EV. 50% ground ball rate. He had a 2% barrel rate due to this because he hit the ball on the ground so much. He's young. He was pretty young for that draft class as well, so I'm willing to give him a bit of a pass here, but we will need to see more from Tucker Tolman pretty soon. Sam Shaw, second baseman, very resemblant of Leo Jimenez, as I mentioned, like height, skill set. He was a 9th rounder in 2023, but he got a bonus well above slot. Ultimately, we don't have a ton of track record on him, but I do think that Sam Shaw prep bat can be really fun to see. Contact skills are supposedly good. Can he grow a little bit and add to that frame and ultimately add strength? We shall see. A couple other names to talk about, a couple of the relievers that I do think could be really good and useful out of this bullpen is Connor Cook. Connor Cook's a 24-year-old righty who probably pitches in the Blue Jays bullpen this year. He's a reliever through and through. He did have a 4.06 ERA last year, but I don't think that's really resemblant of who he is. He had 80 strikeouts across 44 innings, fastballs mid to upper 90s with ride and run, slider, big spinning pitch, 2,800 RPM, 17 inches of sweep, a lot of bats missed, a lot of ground balls induced. I think that Connor Cook could be a big reliever. As I do, TJ Brock, also a very similar profile with a big fastball. I prefer Cook by a little bit, but I do think TJ Brock's somebody that's pretty interesting in this system where he's probably ready to step in this bullpen pretty soon. The stuff's good. There's a big fastball. So I'd watch out for TJ Brock. Josfor Zulueta, another bullpen arm, 25-year-old. All three of these guys could pitch in Toronto's bullpen like right now. They're more than capable of doing that. So I'd watch out pretty closely for all these guys. I think Cook could have a big impact, pitch at the back end of that bullpen and provide some value. A couple other names to hit on real quick. Rafael Lantigua, second baseman. He is 25, but he's pretty interesting. Chad Dallas is kind of a boring pitcher, but he's a starter. Like Chad Dallas, I think could be a starting pitcher. He is 24 years old, or 23, excuse me. So we still want to see a little more out of Chad Dallas. But Dayan Santo, D-A-H-I-A-N, Santos, he's 20-year-old righty. He's one that I think there's a little more upside with. So I would watch out for Santos to kind of move up boards. Desan Brown's a speed demon. Like, he's going to be your speed guy. He's a fun outfielder, a lot of speed. Gabriel Martinez is another outfielder who I do think he had some buzz coming into 2023. Performance didn't live up to hype, so maybe he can bounce back. And Adrian Pinto, 21-year-old outfielder. He's another one that I think is a bit undervalued that has a decent shot to move up boards. The Blue Jay system, while not what it once was, still has some intriguing things to like in this profile and system. I think they could be better. And maybe we see some of these guys soon. I think we see Orelva soon. I think we see Tiedemann in the rotation soon. I think we see Addison Barger. Davis Schneider's already up. And Damiano Palmigiani could be up very soon. And if so, that could leave the system pretty thin. But this has been another Dynasty Dugout show. Thank you for joining us. Hope you'll be back with us tomorrow. We'll be live from Florida tomorrow. I won't be doing a morning show, but I may do a night stream. But I will be in Florida tomorrow for the week, and I'm excited about that. So thank you for hanging out with me. Hope we'll catch you tomorrow night. I'll let you know a time for sure, but I will see you guys tomorrow.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.